The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Sindrigo is one of the latest companies to IPO in London, listing this morning with a market capitalisation of £40 million. The plan is to develop geothermal projects in Germany and also to develop early cash flow from a project in Finland. So here to tell us more about that is Lars Gullstrand, the CEO. Lars, very good to see you.
Thank you.
So tell us your plans here, Finland and Germany.
Finland, we have 110 megawatt ready-built large energy plant to produce heat for the local industry and power for the Finnish grid. To us, that's of course very attractive and our first real generator of cash flow. But the core of that is to support the growth into the geothermal, as we see as the most promising long-term growth potential. We have a large asset area of approved licenses for geothermal in Germany. I would say one of the most attractive markets in Europe for geothermal, and where we then are today in an early stage, and then would see some 300-400 megawatt of heat, steam, and power generation in Germany, added with a very strong lithium production out of the operations we're having there as well.
I mean, Germany, a very big opportunity here, isn't there? There's a certain amount of geopolitical considerations and the local German power situation, quite unique in Europe.
No, it is. And then that's also why I would say it's probably one of the most attractive markets, because there is a strong need. The government definitely supports the development of geothermal. There is a target from the government to do some 10 terawatt in the coming 5 years, which would require a strong development in the market. But that's also why they walk the talk. They support this development to get the clean baseload operation out of the geothermal. They support our preparatory work right now with 50% of all investments we are having. They will support our build-up of our plants. So not only the build-up, but they also provide good insurance on the drilling, good underwriting on financing, and a significant subsidy when the plants are built. Up to 40% of the full capex is covered by the government. And even more important than when it's up and running and going into power production, they give a 20-year solid, strong electricity power tariffs on this. I was saying on pricing that 3-4 times what you normally would have, 250 euro per megawatt hour. So it is a very attractive market from both commercial and from industry perspective.
So good government support. Investors will be glad to hear about that. But perhaps curious to know why you've listed in London as opposed to Germany.
Yeah, the reason for London is that we were earlier on in a lot of waste-to-energy projects in Eastern Europe. And we were far advanced on these, and we were preparing for a listing not on the main markets, but on the smaller trading platforms in Canada. And with this development, we were approached by a London-based listing. And we then, long story short, saw the opportunity to have come in that far. So we did then an reverse takeover with them. Unfortunately, our main project at that point, Waste to Energy, in Ukraine, had to stop given the war starting in Ukraine. So we were then halted for a while, or suspended all business, of course, in Ukraine, and we had to rush up on the platform we have today. So under 2-3 years, we have now rebuilt this strong platform we have, both from an asset perspective, from a team perspective. We have a very strong team with good experience both in waste to energy, built many geothermal plants, and overseen by also a solid board with a broad experience both from the political, energy, new technology, and listing and commercial operation. So it was quite obvious for us to continue in London. And in our development in Germany, as I mentioned, we definitely need funding. We're aiming for debt funding to this. That's why we need a cash flow of Finland. We know that we have the security of the German government support, but then we will also bring credibility and comfort to financiers of being listed not only in London, but on the main board London in equity shares to give that we meet all regulatory requirements and we are definitely a credible player for the long-term development. So that's why I think London is very important to us, given its solid status at a solid marketplace.
Now, you've raised £2 million, Lars, and we've heard about your plans for early cash flow. But what specifics can you give us about news flow in the coming months? What are you planning to be able to talk about as we go into the
And
2020?
I think that, as you said, the 2 million raised is primarily for, let's say, working capital and the project development. We'll go to, of course, pay off the cost of the listing, working capital, but then to a large degree of the pre-development in Germany. But then, so we'll just say from a key near-term milestones, other than hopefully some good things happening in the near term, but starting Finland and turn it to a real cash machine. That's, of course, the first important that shouldn't happen too far out. We assume that it would happen around year end. Next one is, of course, that the funding for Germany is secured, which would come then not too far thereafter. And then to get into the real drilling project in the first projects in Germany. And thereafter, of course, when the drilling results of the production well is there to meet satisfactory heat and pressure and other things would be the next. And the next one would, of course, be when the first operation in Germany is active and we start to generate revenues there as well. But then I would say that's a combination of near term, mid term, and long term. You will see a steady growth of up to 10 such units in Germany on the assets that we already control. And we would then, of course, hope even more in the longer term, new German opportunities, hopefully other markets in Europe, and the continued expansion into this. But near term, I would say start to Finland, get the funding, and get started on the drilling.
So lots to look forward to then. Just to close us out, Lars, as we come to the end of this interview, perhaps you could elucidate in some way that you are able to just how big the opportunity is in geothermal. I mean, can you talk about financial numbers or just market share, or how would you characterize the size of the opportunity that's on offer here?
Yeah, from a let's put it like this: our current platform, we assume we would have some 300 megawatt in Germany and some possible 100 megawatt in Finland. Slightly different terms, of course. As I said, the 300 megawatt would primarily be in heat, but also to a large degree in power. Normally, you would look at pricing on heat in the 40 to 60 euro per megawatt hour, and the heat is probably some 6,000-7,000 hours a year. The power is, of course, year around, and geothermal is 24/7, 365. So that's why it's a base load. And then, as I said, in Germany, we are then talking about some 240 euro per megawatt hour production. And Finland, we have also announced that we have some 60 to 70 euro for the heat production, and the power would be on the spot market, I would say, in Finland on normal pricing. We're not giving an exact forecast, but I think you could put some of those numbers together and probably get a pretty good view on it. And there are, of course, independent analysts looking at this and have their opinion, probably to give you some further support. But I think it's a very large potential. From a market share, probably less, because this is really a growing sector, but we definitely can take a large piece out of it if we're successful in what we believe we can do.
So lots to look forward to then. Thanks very much for talking to us today, Lars, and good luck with your listing.
Okay, thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.